sexy, spooky bones.
Welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I am Rolando.
Hi, my name is John.
Little quiet today. You feeling okay?
I'm an intellectual.
Ah,
which is why I watch Chucky.
Right.
And I have all the connected theories. They all just swim in my head
all the time. And welcome to the show. This week we're reviewing Abigail. As always, John will give us the plot in five words, we'll give our first thoughts, and then we go to do spoiler analysis. But first, we go back to TV Corner, reviewing Chucky, Season 2, Episode 8, Chucky Actually. Shouldn't there be a comma? Chucky, comma, actually?
Oh, I think that's just the different version of Chucky where his last name is Actually.
Ah.
Chucky Actually. Because nice. He's Chucky Prime.
Chucky Prime.
Oh, that makes sense, dude. That's fun. No, whatever. I mean, I knew that because I am an intellectual.
Or, yeah, so about RDJ being cast as Dr. Doom, what do you feel? Like,
I think it's going to be doing a lot of fan service to the comics when that didn't happen.
Yeah.
But it briefly did. No, I don't know.
Gang's all back together. They're all back together.
It's gonna be so good that I'll watch it when it comes out to streaming.
It's Disney Plus. Add the cheapest tier of Disney Plus, I'll watch it.
Not interested, I'll be quite honest. Like, oh, the new Captain America, Red Hulk, I'm like, another character I don't care about.
So you're
General Thunderbolt Ross. Yeah.
So you're accusing Marvel of conflating and building up something and then under-delivering? Is that what you're accusing?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I'll argue, even though I'm not raring to see it, but I know Deadpool Wolverine's probably just going to be way more fun than any fucking Marvel movie that comes out after that for a while.
Everybody loves the Fox Marvel years. There's not a bad movie in any of those.
Not one. Not a single one. Even had a great television series, the Blade one.
Yeah, excellent.
That
nobody saw. Or the Wonder Twin one. Nobody saw that either. Or no, Excuse me, that's DC, the real superhero stuff. What was it? Knife and Dagger? Was it Dagger Knife or?
Oh, Cloak and Dagger. Right?
Thank you, God.
Yeah. I forgot about that because I think I started watching it. And I was like, this isn't Cloak and Dagger.
It's what the fuck awful. Is this?
Completely different. Yeah. I was like, wait.
Yeah. I'm just glad they never got around to making the, what is it? Squirrel Girl?
Max. Oh, Squirrel Girl.
Yeah, never got around to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't think Anna Kendrick was ever a good choice for it. I know she was like, I want to play this.
Yeah, but she, yeah, they, supposedly they had cast the girl in those telephone commercials, the Russian girl.
Oh, that'd be cool. No, she'd be fucking perfect.
She was cast. She was casted, but they never did. They never, either they shot the pilot and it didn't go to series, or they just never got the show off the ground.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's her name? Shit, I know her initials are MV.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, she was in Wolf of, what was it?
Oh, yeah, The Wolf Within?
Yeah. I know we're fucking up. We did like a series of like potentially werewolf style ones, and that was the only one that was a werewolf one.
Yeah.
With Sam Richardson was like the main cop. Yeah.
I think it's called The Wolf Within, right?
Yeah, that's I think.
Right enough.
It's not, yeah, because the Wolf of Snow Hollow, whatever the fuck was the other
one? Was the other one that really.
It was a guy dressed up as a.
The long legs. Wolf. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Spoiler. Spoiler for The Wolf of Snow Hollow.
That's a review of Chucky, actually.
No, no, we should probably finish talking about Chucky.
Tune in next time.
Art.
Yeah, did you see this coming? Did you see that there was like a... They had... There was enough time. There was a 5 minutes of time in between. Dr. Mixter running away with the doll.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's... These 5 minutes we didn't account for because we got distracted by the redhead nun.
Yeah, that clearly makes logical sense. That he can do a whole spell incantation and change bodies, so he's not the one that died. So who died? So technically, are they body swapping, or is that just what's happening there? So the doctor got shot and killed.
I think that is the only reason they introduced Jennifer Tilly mid-season as still alive.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was wondering why they introduced Jennifer Tilly and then just killed her off pretty much the episode right after. And I think it's only so that this makes sense that this happened, that they soul swapped.
Because if I recall, Jennifer Tilly and Tiffany body swapped, but Chucky split his soul. Right? That's why they're all yes. alive in these different Chuckies. He horcruxed his soul and put it in all these other Chuckies, right? Is that the idea?
Yes. Except this was Chucky Prime.
Yes, the OG one from...
So it should be better. I don't know.
Well, he can do spells really fast. We know that about Chucky Prime.
That's true, yeah.
Speaking of...
It's like, Wingardium Leviosa.
Speaking of Prime, did you get anything for Prime Day? Did you get anything? But yeah.
Yeah, but then now I'm trying to understand. You know, I've been seeing that thumbnail where there's like a Chucky that looks really sick.
Yes, I saw it. Yeah, it's on IMDb.
I'm wondering that's because Chucky Prime is gone. I don't know. I don't know how this works.
It's yeah, that was my cuz he's the last one, right? Technically there's no more.
Well, until the ending of this episode, yeah. But
yeah. Oh, we'll get there. We'll definitely get there. And then they just, because the most of this episode, we just spent time with the characters, these boring characters, the stars of the show, Jake and Devin and Lexi. They were supposed to be the stars of the show.
Yeah, they got real boring, huh?
They did, because they just stopped progressing their story.
There's a part where, you know, they're all going to Lexi's mom's house to stay for Christmas. Mm-hmm. And how Lexi didn't mention that they were both coming and... They're all sleeping in the same room. I was waiting for them to just be like a throuple. And then just call it that. And then they're all asexual anyway.
What's that?
Like an asexual throuple.
Woke mind hive that everyone talks about. Yeah.
Yeah, their characters got real fucking boring. Like, I don't care.
Basically, they just kind of... it's a Christmas episode, so they basically just all spend Christmas with each other. It's been how long did they say it was? Like a year? Are we about a year or months?
So it's been like it's close to 2 years since they've been back in Hackensack, apparently, right?
Yeah, because Jake and Devin are kind of having relationship problems.
Yeah, that shit was real lame. I'll be honest. I was like, I don't need this. It's like, oh, I haven't podcasted in like a year. It's not cool anymore. I'm like, they're not fucking kids anymore, right? Like, we're not assuming that they're still 15, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And it's really a tough sell because I think you mentioned it, but they look like college kids.
Yes. They look like 30-somethings now. Like, they're...
Yeah. Like,
dude. They're showing their age very, very rapidly. And I think that's maybe, hopefully, the third season, they age them up so they can just be like, eh, we don't care about the high school shit anymore. Let's just... Keep them, let them act more or less in the range of their age.
Because even at the very end, there's another time jump, right? I think it's like 4 months later.
I don't want to like pick on people's like appearances. I think that's like really insensitive and kind of gross. But they visibly, it's hard not to mention the fact that they visibly have all changed, like facial features, everything. Oh, yeah. It's like they're growing up before our eyes. Basically, it's going on here.
Yeah.
And it seems very rapid. Episode to episode, they seem older and older and older.
And for all intents and purposes, we are technically binge-watching this.
True.
Like, you know, so we don't have any sort of, like, time in between these things. Mm-hmm. So it's happening very quickly in front of her eyes.
Yeah, I mean,
and if you're Johnny, who's co-host, you tend to watch episodes ahead because you just don't pay attention to which episode you're watching.
Yeah. Okay. So, what happened with? Okay, so Glenn was shot.
Glenn is dying
because of the shot. Nika shot Glenn.
Glenn.
And
tried to shoot
Tiffany. And they get the idea of saving her by putting her in the body of the doll they came from.
Yes.
Them. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be insensitive, but the body, Gigi, right?
Yes. So, yes. And Tiffany goes along with the whole thing because Tiffany's the only one that knows the spell, which is kind of silly because Tiffany's still carrying around the same Voodoo for Dummies book that Charles Ray had in the 80s or whatever.
So they just body swapped them. They were body swapped, right?
I don't think so. I don't know where these kids came from, to be honest, because unless they, wow. There's no soul to swap. Does that make sense? Like the doll.
The doll's not alive.
Yeah.
Right. Correct. Right. Yeah.
So
you're right.
The doll just reabsorbed both Glenn and Glenda.
Yes. No, well, only Glenn, right? Because Glenda, they are alive. They're okay, right?
No, I think they became GG. I don't think there's any more...
Glenda?
Yeah, I think they're both in there now. Right? Didn't I catch that correctly? Like, Tiffany goes and...
Well, Tiffany talks
to...
Takes
her to the airport.
I don't think.
No, I'm confused.
I remember it being to save Glenn's life, they put her soul in the doll. The doll went on to like became its own thing and started Moon Toon overseas or something, right? I was under the assumption
Europe or something.
Yeah, to start doing. Gigi was going to Europe, travel Europe. Glenda was still alive, though. Glenda didn't join Glenn.
Well, here's the issue. Then the doll wouldn't be... They wouldn't call the doll Gigi. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It would just
that
be Glenn.
That does make sense, yeah.
So I think Glenda got to a point where they couldn't live without Glenn, and they were very serious about it towards the end. So I just have a feeling... are you pulling up your notes?
Yeah.
On www.googlerolandosnotes.
Child's Play Fandom Wiki Glenda? Yes, I am.
I want to say that's what happened. Let us know in the comments below.
Okay. Because I feel like Glenda... Didn't she talk to Tiffany at, like,
not after. So the last we see of Glenda, they impulsively grab the the things that shock people, defibrillator, to I think I sent you a joke text saying, I guess this guy was made of kerosene.
No. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because he caught fire.
Yeah. You're right. You're absolutely right. Yeah. I don't know why that wasn't explicit to me, but you were right. Yeah. It says here, after they put that guy's head and burst into flames, Tiffany finished the ritual and leaving Glenn and Glenda's human bodies devoid of their souls as they are combined into the doll. So, yes, Gigi is, they are now back as Gigi.
Famously voiced by, I was gonna say Brandon Boyd. Can you imagine?
That'd be more exciting.
Billy Boyd, who played Pippin in Lord of the Rings and also voiced original Glenda.
Yeah, that's a weird... I was like, why is the voice different? And I was like, what is this?
Oh, yeah, and I had to explain to you, right, that this is just... Every once in a while in this Chucky show, like very rarely, they do a little bit of fan service.
That's good. It's good that...
Yeah, never happens other than right now. But
it's nice for people to just give something back to the fans.
Yeah, instead of this, like, because Chucky's been nothing but just a casual viewing experience, right?
Super casual. You could just pick up any episode and watch it, and you'd totally be caught up.
Like if you had no idea what Child's Play was at all, you'd be like, oh yeah, there's a. It's about a killer doll. I don't know.
Yeah. Pretty much.
It's the devil. I don't know.
But that was nice. It was a nice send-off for Gigi, right?
So Dr. Mixter was grooming and in love with Charles Lee Ray?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem... I didn't get the relationship. It's like...
That's what it felt like. It felt like she was grooming him.
See, it would have made more sense. First, I don't think they were explicit enough, and I think it would have made more sense of like Dr. Mixter. Mixter? Am I saying that right?
Mixter.
Maybe was like fascinated by him and like was writing a book about him or fucking something, studying him. But it's but the way the show portrays it, it's more of the grooming kind of like. Like they like she becomes the surrogate mother for him and is just sort of pampers him and you know wants him to kind of explore this like psychotic behavior,
which the whole is only briefly explained when they do the whole gag of you think his life was flashing right before his eyes and it's actually Dr. Mixter's life flashing before her eyes,
right? Mm-hmm.
Which I kind of gathered right away, right? There's like, what else could it be?
I think we called it last episode about like that was that he swapped bodies, considering the way it ended with Dr. Mister laughing like Chucky. So clearly there was a body swap.
Yeah. But why go through all that trouble? Well, I guess they just needed to get him out of Nika, right? That was the only important thing. And then Chucky very quickly dismissed her as any sort of importance and got her killed.
Pretty much, yeah. While, I mean, they kind of do this pretty regularly because, like, the nun also was worshiping Chucky. She was the redheaded nun?
That's right, yeah. I don't know, but we also get it, like we've mentioned before, we get introduced to so many characters that just kind of die like almost two episodes later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What else could we mention? We could mention the mother is now dead, so all three of our main leads are orphans. Which is pointed out. She finally died. And Caroline, the younger sister, is now with Chucky. We can assume the way the episode ended was that Tiffany is dead. Chucky killed her.
Which I don't think actually happened.
I suspect the same.
I suspect you also accidentally went ahead.
I just don't think they were going to write off Jennifer Tilly. Like, I don't... There's certain characters Don Mancini would not write off of the show. And I think Jennifer Tilly is one of them. Even though they had a nice ending for Nika, but they're not going to write that character off the show. So she's back.
I mean, no, Nika's actively obsessed with Jennifer Tilly, which makes me think Nika's going to be the only one that sees where everything is going.
Yeah. I agree.
And then she's going to be more important. She's going to be like, you know what I need? I need a bunch of underage kids to help me. So she's going to go back to Hackensack, adopt the three kids.
Well, no. We know it looks like for some reason it was explicitly needed to have the teacher Mrs. Fairchild, the redhead Mrs. Fairchild, to come in and like basically looks like she's going to be the surrogate mother for Lexi and the other three. Does that make sense?
Is that going to be weird if they all get adopted and two of them are dating, kind of, even though they're the most platonic relationship I've ever seen?
It's 2024, man. Everyone's dating everybody. It's fine. There's no gender anymore. It's fine.
I bought you this podcast set. You like podcast stuff.
Nah. Maybe I should get you.
I'm not into that.
I'll get you a podcast set for your birthday, John.
Nice. But it's got to be the best top of the line one, because these kids casually have hundreds and hundreds of dollars to just blow on stuff.
Whatever I find at Best Buy, yes. If that's what it is, yes. Anything else happened of note? If not, then we can just do like opinions of season
television
2.
Television spoiler, you mean? So Chucky gets hacked up by this mini little quiet chainsaw he bought for himself as a gift to himself because he said he deserved it.
That's right. Yeah.
And there's a bunch of cute little things where it says like 2 days to 2 days left in chopping day or whatever, something like that. Mm-hmm. 2 chopping days left before Christmas.
Oops. Uh-oh.
And then Lexi is able to grab, after Chucky jumps, cuts her mother in half with a chainsaw because she's trying to get a like video with Jennifer Tilly or something, right? I think.
Yes. Yeah.
Because Tiffany went in to go try to find that doll so she can transfer her body soul into the doll.
Mm-hmm.
Sliced in half. Chucky's got safety glasses because he's a good person and cares about safety and OSHA standards. He's stuck there. Lexi grabs a chainsaw and starts hacking Chucky Prime into little pieces. And then that's when the reveal of the younger sister, who I thought was possibly autistic or something, is just evil. Evil little girl.
Yeah.
And runs away with Jennifer Tilly and the doll.
Yeah, she joins him.
And then cut to 4 months later or something, 3 or 4 months later.
Yeah.
Tiffany's having issues transferring her soul into the doll, and she doesn't know why. It's because the whole time, Chucky had gotten liposuction or something. Like the dolls aren't the same size, and I think that's funny. I actually did think that was funny. Starts peeling off like hair and stuff and revealing it's another Chucky.
Not Chucky Prime.
Not Chucky Prime.
Because technically Chucky Prime is dead, right?
Yeah, I'm assuming. I don't know. But Nika has also been tracking them, and Nika was able to track them to where they're living now, which was obviously New York, Japan. According to the CGI landscape.
They got an apartment right near to Times Square.
Yeah. Times Square, Tokyo, or whatever it was.
Yeah.
I like paused it. I'm like, I get it's supposed to be kind of Times Square, but it doesn't
look. What are these
like
Asian people doing here?
What's going on?
Right.
Yeah, that happens.
So he was, so there's.
That's how it ends. And then. Oh, it actually ends with the Chucky who had been narrating the story, right?
Right.
Comes back.
Mm-hmm.
And very quickly, he's trying to sing a song, and then they say, hey, you only got like 30 seconds left in the thing. So he does a quick version, speeds it up. And that's when you see that the doll's been there the whole time. I don't know if that means anything. I don't think it does. But
well, I always thought that was weird, like, because they kept showing that stupid doll throughout the season. And I was like, well, what?
Yeah.
What is the like purpose of this other than showing that the psychiatrist had a thing for dolls? Obviously means she knows who Chucky is, which is.
But then that like wedding doll has been around since like the first season, I think. Oh, this is season 2. Sorry, no, we're in season 3, right?
No, this is
what
2.
What season are we on? 2. This is 2. Yep.
Yeah, so I guess they paid it off by just being, oh, look, it's another Chucky.
Yeah.
Cool.
I guess. I don't know.
Unless that's Chucky Prime, fun. And the Chucky that that had the chainsaws, not just another version of Chucky. Possible.
I'm having a hard time with this because I want to say I believe that because that's why they had that when he's doing the couch interview stuff.
Yeah.
But he was narrating the one of the stories, right? That he wasn't in. That I guess that makes sense too. It's the only episode that doesn't involve Chucky, except for him narrating what's going on, the Clue episode.
So this was, I feel like that lines up a little better now.
I guess that checks, right? Yeah. So that there was always an opportunity for that to happen. Okay.
That we were misinformed about how many Chuckies were alive. And that, there's one more.
So he's just been like a dormant doll the whole time, and then he swapped with Chucky Prime?
Makes sense. I mean,
he's able to split his soul. You just mentioned that Chucky Prime is able to split his souls. I don't know.
Well, I mean, also the doctor, the psychiatrist, was very protective of that doll. They do have to do a little explaining. I'm sure they have an idea of what, who, and what all that is. Either Prime Chucky's dead, finally, which, in reflection, seems less likely. Right? So...
Oh, you know what? We did get Brad Dourif saying that he's trying to retire. I'm wondering if this is, like, the way out. Like,
so the doll was Chucky all the time. I don't know. I mean... We'll find out real soon in season 3 next week.
It's true. I mean, I feel like it's going to get explained. Every single thing has been explained pretty thoroughly.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure. This is, okay, we've been going a little long, but yeah. Do you just want just last thoughts on season 2? Opinions? As a whole?
I like the Christmas theme of it. I thought that was a fun little ad. I think that's what really did it for me this episode. Otherwise, it was like, oh, okay, nothing's really happening.
Mm-hmm. I think this was a good season, not a great season. I think season 1 is still pretty great. Really felt like they, but this was a good season that had a lot of, I think they set it up well, a lot of potential of putting the kids kind of into Chucky's past by putting them in that church or what, I'm sorry, cut school or whatever. And I don't think they fully explored every avenue of that. I think the show got too mired in its own mythology and, you know, just focused too much on things that I didn't particularly found interesting about the show. So, but still, there's still things to enjoy, still things to like about it. I just liked a lot less of it than I did the first season.
Yeah, I agree with that. Even though I think you didn't particularly like that episode, but I did enjoy the Clue style whodunit one.
Yeah,
the glass onion episode I enjoyed.
Glass onion. Yeah. Okay. On to season 3. We will probably pick up season 3 TV Corner next week. So
next week.
All right. Let's move over to our main review of Abigail. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please. No, we can just say, hey, that's pretty good. All right, well, tune in next time. For Abigail, coming in at number 3, bad people learn crime bites.
Nice. Accurate.
Coming in at number 2 for Abigail, meaning, what is it? Father's joy or something.
In Hebrew. Just, you knew that off the top of your head.
Yeah. Proof babysitting can really suck.
Yes.
And coming in at
sensing
a
theme.
Yeah, actually, coming in at number 1, RIP Angus Cloud, talented guy.
Yeah, before we talk about anything, I want to say I've never seen Angus Cloud in anything. I've never watched Euphoria, that's where he's from, right? That's what I read.
Oh, he's fucking fantastic.
So interesting.
Yeah.
He's an interesting actor, because he just seems like he's playing himself, kind of. Like, he's just authentically playing a guy who's kind of dumb and dumb over his head. you know, can't read the room. And I enjoyed his performance quite a bit.
In Euphoria, he is really worth a watch because he plays a young drug dealer who mostly keeps to himself, but he's got a heart when it comes to like Zendaya, because he's like, you need to get off this shit. He's like one of those drug dealers. And then he gets mixed up with all the fucking bullshit.
Fake drug dealer. Got it. Drug dealers don't care. They just want money. But no, I got your point. But yeah, no, there is a despite him playing kind of the, like a dumb henchman or whatever, he plays it very well.
I wanted to point out, they didn't kill the black guy first. They killed the guy that kind of acts like a black guy.
Yeah.
According to movies.
I thought it was a very interesting, refreshing presence on screen. So RIP to him.
Yeah, he was fantastic.
Yeah, I really liked him. Abigail was co-directed by the guys that did the last two Scream movies. So, which we didn't like the last one, but should we liked the one before
thankful
it.
Thankful we didn't get Jenna Ortega in this, is what you're saying.
Yeah, she should have played Abigail, but whatever. Yeah, so John, what are your first thoughts?
Oh, I enjoyed the shit out of this. There's like a couple things that I wanted out of it, but no, I was like, what am I doing? Like, it's fine. It's, I feel like this is a movie that's in your wheelhouse because it is not elevated horror.
So what is that supposed to mean? This
a fun horror movie? I don't know. It was just fun. It was fucking great. Like they went out of their way to make these characters.
Yes.
Like each of the characters had its own specific set of skills or whatever.
Yeah.
Fantastic. It's unfortunate that Kevin Durand was clearly the worst part of the movie. Just kidding. He's the fucking guy that steals the spotlight every goddamn time.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting him to be that, like that character. Like, he's just the dumb muscle who's tired of being the dumb muscle, but he's just so stupid. Like, there's even a moment where, I guess it's a spoiler, right? Nobody knows what Abigail is. Just kidding.
they reveal it.
Premise of this movie, right?
They reveal it in the trailer. Yeah,
I think even in the teaser.
Yeah.
So, at one point, Kevin Durant's still not getting something fully, and even Abigail's like, just like they got this little girl to go like, "Holy shit! Fucking kidding me!" Just like. I was actually expecting Kevin Durant to be one of the people that survives for whatever reason, even though he's easily killable.
Right. I kind of felt like he should have died. There were a couple of scenes where I thought he would die, but he didn't. He kind of went on. And not that there's a spoiler there, but...
he gets stabbed repeatedly with the little cross necklace that he has.
There are a lot of instances.
But then I realized,
yeah.
Like, it's not a very big cross or anything. It's, like, tiny, but, like, damn, that was brutal. But yeah, what do you think?
I, as the as you described me, common man horror fan, since I don't like elevated horror, I really like this movie too. I thought it.
Yeah, it was fucking great.
Yeah, I think this is a great example of a mainstream horror movie, and that's not a knock whatsoever. I think that a lot of people have baggage when it comes to horror movies, or they just immediately have some conception of what it is. I thought this was a good example of a movie that is a horror movie, yes, first, but it also is, I think, broad enough to where a masser audience would see it. And I think this, from what I understand, this movie was released, it was a hit. It was a pretty decent size hit for the movie.
I hope so, because there's potential for a sequel.
You can easily make a sequel, and I liked...
Yeah.
And I also thought the basically it's just about, you know, I don't know how many, what would you say, like four or five criminals who kidnap a kid, which is very similar. They're kind of riffing on that famous storyline. What is it? Let me just look at my notes.
Dracula's son or whatever.
Or the Ransom of Red Chief, right? That idea.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, right? Like where two men kidnap a child and of a wealthy man's son, and then the son becomes like unbearable, so they try to like get rid of him because the son is, it's been that trope you see a lot in like kids movies and stuff like that, where these group of criminals try to kidnap a kid, thinking they're going to make a big score, but the kid is more of a headache than what it is. It originates from this story, The Ransom of Red Chief, but it's been used in media over and over and over again. And it's sort of that was kind of a riff on that story, Abigail.
Yeah.
And I thought they did a really good job of, they easily could have made these five characters completely faceless and forgettable, but I thought the actors and the writing gave them moments, so they each kind of were unique. They had unique personalities throughout the movie. Yeah. So, and it's...
And there were six of them to start.
There were six of them, yes. Yeah. Like, I thought each actor brought something different and there was very defined characterization, so...
What is it, like the burnout thug, the muscle, the medic, the computer whiz, and then the leader.
The leader, right? Yeah.
Or wait, there were six of them, and then
Giancarlo. No.
Well, not Giancarlo, was.
I don't think it was six of them. I think that was all of them. That was from that from the group. Yes.
Oh no no, and then the good guy.
Yeah.
Which was like. I saw that coming, but I was like, no, they're going to fight together. I'm like, nah, okay, that's cool. But because he was like he was a cool character. I appreciated that they didn't try to make it like a sexual thing. And it was just a mutual understanding of like survival.
Yes.
Which is probably why. What are we considering a spoiler in this?
The end, I would say. The like, okay, so we know that she's a vampire. That's not, we're not spoiling anything. You can watch any trailer and it's revealed pretty early on in the movie. I would say the stuff that happens at the very end is who survives, who dies would be a spoiler. That's what I would consider.
Okay, yeah, because that's what I was trying to get at. Like, do we mention who gets killed? Because obviously people are going to die.
Right.
And I think from the trailer, you kind of gather who the main character is.
Of course. Yeah, yeah.
And it's, you gather it, and then it's not Kevin Durant after all, and you're like, oh, okay, well, we'll see if I like this movie after all.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this movie had a lot of, it was fun, funny, and I thought that it was also a lot of blood and horror. And subverting expectations at each turn. I thought they were actively trying to just present something very familiar and then subverting it in ways which I think they successfully did it. For entertainment, yeah. Entertainment wise, right?
And it was fun, and hats off to Alicia Weir. She was fucking fantastic.
Right, yeah. She was the who
Abigail.
She played Abigail, and yeah, I was like going to say that she and I tend to be really hard on kid actors, but I did enjoy her performance.
Yeah, Rolando fucking hates children, and if you've listened to any other episode where there's a child involved, he's got some opinions.
We explicitly note how terrible they are.
I'm like Rolando, it's supposed to be a newborn infant, and I'm like, yeah, but you know, I didn't have to cry
when he was being eaten. I didn't believe it.
I was like, yeah, this is the first omen. It's supposed to be a baby. I'm like, yeah, but the baby could have been better. Like, it could be more evil.
Yeah. Didn't have a problem with her either. I thought she was excellent.
Yeah. I mean, everybody was pretty excellent. I didn't think there was a single weak character in this, and I think that was what really carried the movie.
Yeah, I agree. And I have to note, I am a huge fan of Dan Stevens. I think he's... has movie star looks, but he always plays like these eccentric character actor. So I think that's how I'll describe Dan Stevens. It's like he's always plays eccentric people or character actor, and which I know is your favorite term. But he has like movie star looks. Like he easily could have been in Twisters or anything else, right? So.
Oh, no, I guess I can't mention it. There's another cameo at the end that confused me because there's somebody that looks a lot like Dan Stevens in makeup. And I was like, oh, what?
Yeah.
Anyway, I was like, how are there two people? How is he two people? I don't understand.
What'd you think of Lisa Frankenstein? Did you like her in this or did you not?
You know what? This is actually, I was thinking about it and I was immediately starting to like dismiss it because
You hate funny women.
She was fucking great and freaky.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. Yes. She was.
And actually, no, I do recall Lisa Frankenstein. It wasn't like she was a problem. It was just the movie kind of sucked.
Poor direction, poor script. Poor direction, interpretation of the script. Yeah. Something like somewhere right there is where we landed. Yeah, I actually thought she was really funny. I think she had like the broadest, funniest part. And I thought Catherine Newton was excellent in it. So
yeah, she's great.
Yep.
I thought they were all great, because even Melissa Beretta had like a kind of a boring part, but she did great.
Yeah, she kind of just is, you know, the hero, straight lace, kind of with a, you know, a tortured past or whatever, if you want to talk about it. But
which is, she was one of the, like trying to think as logically as possible, and it's not even on her that she got, you know, the little Abigail lying to her is very understandable, that she wants to believe the little girl.
I also really liked that
this is a movie about not believing little girls when they say things because they're lying all the time. Is that what you're going to say?
It's like, she's saying it, but I don't believe she's saying it, Abigail. No, is it? No, I was going to say, I lost my train of thought. It's nice that the characters in this acknowledge that vampires are in media, so they just immediately start rattling off like movies and things that you would, typical tropey things you see, like garlic, wooden stakes.
Actually, Newton makes jokes, right? Like, are you talking about like fucking Twilight vampires? Are you talking about this vampires, these vampires? Because they're all different, if that's what you want.
Yes. Yeah.
And then, you're right. They all acknowledge it, but not Kevin Durant. No, this guy.
Yeah.
So Kevin Durant plays. Yeah, he's just dim-witted, but he seems to have a kind heart, even though he's a murderer. But it is funny, like when they start acknowledging like vampires exist, he's like, no, and he starts coming as you. <It's> like, basically, going la 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 la.
Yeah, and I love that. Was it Catherine? Talks about garlic, right? And she brings a bag of onions.
Oh, yeah. She's like, I don't know. I don't cook. Oh, yeah, because they establish her as being somebody that got bored with her life because she was already rich.
Right, yeah.
So she found ways to, like, you know, she's a hacker and just stealing money.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. So she's like, I don't know how to cook. It's, yeah, a big-ass bag of onions.
So, but yeah, no, there's a lot of good moments. And I like that they're not... They immediately set up all the things that... You know, that you would see in a vampire movie, and which I thought was super fun. And then they try to subvert it and be like, some of it is true, some of it's not true. So it's kind of just they're playing off that idea, which was, I thought was really cool.
I had a question though. What happened to William? What was his name? William Catlett Rickles. What happened to Rickles? He's Don Rickles. That's right.
Yeah.
Because they all got named after the Rat Pack, and allegedly Don Rickles was like an honorary member.
Yeah.
His sniper gun just went missing. I guess Abigail just threw it away, or maybe, I guess there was one other person that's revealed to be there the whole time as well. Maybe he took it. I don't know.
They were, I think they were only spectating. Pretty much points to like, Abigail was the one who was basically, I think she was, you know, trying to kill them.
Yeah.
So yeah, so
you know what's pretty impressive about this movie too?
Yeah.
There's only like 8 people in the cast.
And it all takes place in one area, one place, you know,
and allegedly and actually in that mansion for the most part, not on a soundstage.
Oh, really? It was not a soundstage.
Yeah, this place in Ireland, this mansion.
Oh, cool. That's cool.
I mean, I'm sure some of it had to have been soundstage, but...
I think this definitely happened. I think I was reading that. Didn't it... they had to stop during the strike. Was it the strike?
Yes. And fortunately, as well as unfortunately, but fortunately, Angus Cloud had already filmed all the scenes.
Yeah. And then he... so they basically shot the... what they consider the first part of the movie, and they shot the second part of the movie. So, I really enjoyed it thoroughly. Do you want to go into spoilers?
Sure.
Okay, let's go into spoilers.
Wait! No, 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 stop, stop, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into...
spoilers. Abigail's a vampire.
Is she, though? Yes, yeah. 100%
yeah, yeah, yeah. With daddy issues. And I kept believing... What was the name of the character that... It was like a playoff of Vlad.
Oh, yeah. He had a couple of names, right? He's only credited in here as the father.
Yeah.
Which was played by boring actor Matthew Good.
That's what I was saying. Matthew Good in vampire makeup looked like Dan Stevens. I'm like, why is there Dan Stevens playing a second character? I was like, what is this Mia Goth bullshit happening? But it wasn't.
Loki was...
And then when I looked at him, I was like, oh, it's Ozymandias.
Do you think there's a joke, that like a subtle joke they're trying to make that... Because he looked like Robert Pattinson. Because...
A little bit.
Right? The way he did his hair and the way he did the white skin, he low-key looked like Robert Pattinson from Twilight. I wonder if that was a subtle joke.
Possibly. I don't know. I guess we could have a second movie come out and tell us, because...
Oh, I assume they're going to make a second one.
Willems died, so yeah.
Yeah. I'm assuming they're going to make a second one, so... all intents and purposes. Matthew Good, I'm not a big fan of Matthew Good. So... Only because it's not his fault, but he was cast as Ozymandias, and he is nothing like Ozymandias. Yeah. Not even remotely close to the look and the what was there to play. He just, it didn't work for me.
Yeah. How'd you feel about him being a vampire, though?
Also underwhelmed.
Yeah. But it was also such a strange... So I think it's a... we forgot to note that there is a relationship between Abigail and Melissa Barrera's character. Joey is what they call her.
Right.
They all have fake names, right? The Rat Pack names.
Mm-hmm.
And even though Abigail is evil and potentially centuries old, she's still childlike?
She still needed a dad.
Which I'm guessing what they're playing on is she got churned as a child intentionally by her father, which that might not even be her real father. But so her brain development never fully got to a point to be mature, I guess.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I mean, you never really get over your daddy issues, right? I mean,
<That's true.
laughs> so
especially if your dad's Matthew Good.
See, I'd be horrifying. But yeah, I think part of also because I think she was lonely, right? I mean,
yeah,
probably a little bit of,
she just really wanted her dad to be there, so she would stage all these things. Each of these characters at some point had wronged her father in some capacity, so she brought them there intentionally, and she's been doing that to other people that have wronged her father in the past, using Giancarlo Esposito, who has a grand total of like 6 minutes in this movie.
Yeah.
I don't know, appease her father, but her father doesn't give a shit about her, really.
Pretty much, yeah. This is just elaborate traps she's basically setting up. So she kind of orchestrated all of this so she could be trapped in the house with them, so she could kill him, basically, to try to appease her dad.
Even though, like, at the end, she's got this... sort of sincerity and honesty about her, because they let Melissa Barrera is allowed to live, is what happens.
Right.
She does not survive, technically. She's allowed to live. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering, because the whole movie is Abigail is really just playing with them, toying with them for fun. Mm-hmm. Like, they have this thing where they knock her out with this drug that actually does work on her, and then they put her in a cage. And just to quickly reveal that she could have popped out of that thing whenever she wanted.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, it's also, so Angus Cloud is the first person to go. And he's the only person that gets his head ripped off.
Yeah.
Which is a cool reveal, because Catherine Newton's in there and like yells at him because he had scared her before.
And he's really trying to flirt with her. Like, yeah. Hit on her. Yeah. Through most of the movie.
He does a bunch of really fun shit. There's a lot of really cute moments of just Angus Cloud like he's wasted walking through the house and he gets bored and Kevin Durant is passed out on the chair. And it's just funny. Angus Cloud decides that the biggest, by far largest dude in the room, he's going to draw a dick on with his little fanny pack that he has markers.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Oh man. It made me like happy and sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, I guess Dan Stevens ends up being like the main bad guy here. Kind of the last bad.
Yeah, there's like a weird twist where he ends up being that. I thought he was just going to end up helping. Like,
right. So did I. Yeah. To escape, at least. Because
they make it. Yeah. They really make it seem like he does like doing bad things, but he is a detective or whatever. But no.
He did. He did have that life. He just broke bad, right? Like, he's kind of just a bad dude.
Yeah.
Enjoyed it too much.
And I guess they couldn't have two of them because the Rickles character was kind of like a dude that was forced to break bad, potentially. They didn't want to reveal too much of his backstory.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which I thought was going to become more important later, but no, he just gets killed.
Yeah. Kind of gets killed right away.
Him and Joey make a pact, like, let's try to get the fuck out of here, and like, no, he dies.
Yeah.
But yeah. I don't know. This was a lot of fun. Did it? Well, I don't think we mentioned, but Kevin Durant is like stealing the show in this movie. I'm just gonna keep bringing it up.
Yeah, I mean, he's you know, he basically plays like a kind of like a nice guy, but he looks menacing and terrifying. But he's a pushover of a person.
Pretty much, yeah. Like, unless he's what is he kind of like?
Like a.
Oh, you know what I could see? If he was a DC character, I could definitely see... Oh, I mean... Yeah, I could see him playing Solomon Grundy.
Yeah. Yeah, he could do it. Why not? That's a good catch. I was thinking...
The Blob in Marvel, maybe?
The Blob in Marvel, yeah. Juggernaut? No. He played one of those, yeah. Right?
He played the Blob.
That's what it was.
Vinny Jones played
the Juggernaut. Terrible Juggernaut. Version of that character.
Yeah.
Totally forgettable.
So I'm saying, maybe it took me a while to warm up to Kevin Durant, but I would love to fucking watch him play him. Because he's such a good, versatile, like, when you first see him in this movie, because I didn't know what kind of character he was supposed to be playing. Like, oh man, he's going to be the dude that's just fucking trying to rip people apart. Aggro, toxic masculinity.
Right,
like,
yeah.
But he was quite the contrary to that. He was just like...
I think he's...
He loved getting wasted and...
He's one of those guys that's definitely having a moment now, right? Because he was just in...
Planet of the Apes.
Planet of the Apes. This movie. And he's getting... Essentially getting bigger parts because he does have the look of a... Henchman number two, Russian henchman number two face, right? So, but he's kind of, yeah. You know, having a moment where he's getting bigger roles and stuff. And I think that he's a really interesting actor.
Like, I hate to say it, but I think it's very difficult for actors taller than 6'3 to be considered anything more than just that character. Unless you're like Tim Robbins, who is also 6'6, right? Because Kevin Durant is 6'6.
Yeah. Yeah, Tim Robbins never really did like the tough guy. I wouldn't consider Tim Robbins a tough guy. He's never at all. No. More control of the things. He was more picky about the stuff he was in. That makes sense.
Yeah, like he agreed to be in Jacob's Ladder because he's like, okay, so it's just close-up shots and medium shots, so you can't tell that I'm 8 feet tall. All right, let's go for it.
Tim Robbins is a director. Director. Director.
And his son, right? We just saw him in something, didn't we?
Tim Robbins has a son?
Yeah, with
Susan Sarandon?
Yes. He's the guy that came out in the Halloween, the latest Halloween reboot, the first one. Long hair, he's in Blockers, the movie with the John Cena and Leslie Mann and Ike Barinholtz are trying to stop their kids from having sex.
I did not know this, so I'm actively looking this up. Did you?
Yeah. They're he's fun. Oh, I feel like we just saw him in something. He had his hair short. Unless I'm thinking of a different movie. I don't know.
Miles Robinson?
Sure.
Tim and Susan's. Yeah, this is him. I don't know what... Oh, yeah, he was in Halloween. Yeah. We saw Old Dads together. No, I'm just kidding. I have no idea.
That was it.
Oh, he was in the... I know what you remember him from. The Quarry. That's what you remember him from.
The game I never finished
playing. Yes. I'm assuming you're talking about that one, right?
That's the one. The game we said we were going to... Why don't we play a video game and talk about it in the
Quarry? Hey, by the way, I do have the access to the game now. I got Game Pass on Xbox.
Oh, okay.
So technically, I could play it.
So, if you want us to review this, I mean, it is a long fucking game.
Is it?
But it's basically like watching a movie. You're just deciding what the character does in the movie.
Just be a dick to everybody and not save anybody. That's the way I'd pick it. Yeah. The way I'd...
Lock everybody up in this mansion that's got magnetic sort of devices that appear out of nowhere that happen to be 2 inches thick. And they did not notice in the outside of the house, the mansion, because they went at night. I think is what happened. Oh, there was one thing I had about the movie. Even though it was fucking cool to see Newton, when she does turn into a vampire, it is Abigail controlling her, kind of like from afar.
Right.
Like being her, almost like splitting her soul into like different dolls.
Makes sense.
And she kills Kevin Duran, which I thought he was going to come back. I was really excited to see a hulking vampire Kevin Duran. A la From Dusk Till Dawn, right? When, what's his name? Becomes a vampire. I thought that was cool. Action Jackson. What's his name? Which might not even be familiar to some listeners that I think about it. Anyway, but like, I thought Kevin Durant was going to pop out like that or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I also had a happy thought of maybe Kevin Durant came out as the vampire that saves the day and then just let himself die.
Yeah.
Because I'm a sucker for Josh Hartnett and 30 Days and Nights doing that.
Yeah.
And then on top of all that, there is some dialogue at the end that's a little clunky.
Mostly said by Dan Stevens Matthew turns Good.
when Dan Stevens turns into a vampire via they find Giancarlo Esposito has been like the guy in the control room orchestrating the whole thing for Abigail. He doesn't want to be a puppet anymore, so he convinces Dan Stevens to turn so they can kill Abigail and Abigail's father. He turns on him immediately, and then it's just Dan Stevens being a bad guy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought he's fighting Joey, and he's like, no, I want to play with you a little bit longer, and Joey has some sort of dialogue like, okay, you want to play? Or whatever. I was like, okay, so what is Joey? What is she actually? Is there some reveal? Because we're not getting like a proper backstory for her.
Just that... I was going to mention this, that I think why Ricketts and her connected is because she was the army doctor, and he also was in the military, right? Because he was very straight-laced, had a like military haircut and everything, the character. Yeah. So I think that's what I assumed why they were like partnered up right away, because they kind of had that background. But she was a medical doctor who got discharged dishonorably discharged because she was a drug addict and lost a patient or something, right? And then lost her son, became a drug addict.
Which the patient... No, I guess she went into crime, right? And she was supposed to be the doctor, and she had one of her dad's people die.
Yeah.
So that's why...
Yes.
But I just thought it was going to be like there's a reveal of something else, and then she fights Dan Stevens and or Abigail or whatever.
Right.
In my mind, I always want there to be werewolves when there's vampires, and I want them to
fight. The only way to do it.
It's just what I want all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
It's bats versus dogs. Let's do this. You know? put Rhys Darby in there so he could be a werewolf. Like in What We Do in the Shadows.
Yeah. That What We Do in the Shadows has definitely ruined a lot of vampire stuff for me. So just actively make fun of all of it. I do want to note, I did fall down a little bit of a hole of Miles Robbins did a movie with Patrick Swayze's kid, a couple of Nepo babies, did a movie together called Daniel Isn't Real.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
Oh, you saw that before?
He's having like a conflicted personality thing.
Yes. That's what I'm gathering.
I think I saw that. I did. I feel like I saw most of it, at least. And that's our review.
let's end probably the show.
Abigail comes out at the end. It's like Abigail allows Joey to live or go away because Joey did save Abigail's life.
Right.
Or lack thereof. I don't know. I don't know how what you say for vampires. And she's going to leave. And right when she opens the door, you see Matthew Good pops out of nowhere and is threatening to eat Joey. And Abigail's like, no, she saved my life. And he's like, no, get out of the way. And she says, she was there and you weren't. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
It got kind of cheesy there. But then, yeah. Kisses her hand, gets excited because everybody's covered in blood. It's a very bloody movie.
Very bloody movie, yeah.
When vampires die in this, they fucking explode into smithereens and just blood and guts. Yeah, and then he just says, you should go. It's very close to dinner time. So she just fucking leaves. And you see that they make it seem like she's got one last hit of some sort of heroin or something, but it happens to be just a crumpled up lollipop. She puts it in her mouth. She drives away.
Right.
And that's when I thought there was going to be a Big Trouble Little China moment. And instead of the monster, it's Kevin Durant in the back.
Oh, yeah. Fighting, no. I was expecting more. Yeah, I was expecting maybe somebody in the back of the van, too. Something happened. Yeah. Then her just cathartically just eat the lollipop and drives away. And then that's where the movie ends. Yeah. I thought there would be a little bit more than that. But I guess that's fits with the character.
You're in a big cargo van, right? I even to this day check the backseat.
Like, yeah.
You know, I don't understand how characters go through this insanely traumatic experience. Right. But she did have a funny throwaway line at the end going like, what the fuck? She's walking out of
That's right, room. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, for the most part, fucking fantastic movie. I think we've overstayed our welcome here.
Well, the Chucky thing went in a little long, but that's fine. So yeah,
we were allowed in as vampires are.
So you're totally, so let me see, good idea, bad idea, let me float this idea to you. Matthew Good as Galactus, does that work? Does that do anything for you? No. Good, it did nothing for me too. Let's hit the show.
What's a character that barely talks? Let's do the Living Tribunal. I'll give him that.
Alrighty. All right, guys, gals. All right, we should probably rate the movie before we end the show.
We should probably rate it, yeah.
Right? John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones. Ooh, sexy bones. Well, I know what you know. Show us your sexy spooky bones.
No, wait, don't do that. Just rate the movie. You know, this might surprise everybody, but I had so much fun with this movie because it's been a minute since we just had a fucking generic horror movie again. I'm gonna give it 9. I'm gonna give it 9. Whoa. Sexy sucking bones.
That's so sexy. Yeah, that's more sexy than... I had a lot of fun with it. I think, but we... By generic, you mean, like, fun. Just fun, entertainment, nothing really too, like, challenging.
I could rewatch this.
Yeah, like, you know, easily.
It's very rewatchable. Yeah. Yeah. Very easy.
Same way.
I think I gotta give movies like that a good rate. Like, it's like...
That's true.
I can recommend this without being like, okay, when you watch it, just be aware that this or that. I could just be like, just watch it. It's good.
Yeah, yeah. You don't have to preamble any of it. Just a fun, entertaining movie. 100% agree. I will, though, give it an 8.
Okay.
Give me an 8.
It's also Kevin Durant's in it, just before you finish your rating. Okay.
Kevin Durant. He gets a 10 out of 10. Kevin Durant gets a 10 out of 10. The movie, Abigail, gets an 8. So...
Everybody was fantastic, but I just thought, like, man, Kevin Durant is fucking excellent in this movie.
Yeah.
So funny.
Yeah. Cool. Let's end this. All right, guys, gals, non-binary pals, thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky.
Mm-hmm.